Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Howdy, what's happening? Tinky and Tierney live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Tuesday around the country. Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 in what I don't think, Teak, if Adam Silver were to sit down, you know, say two nights ago, as a little computer, sit down, start to bang out a script and vision, what could really make Monday night interesting for my product, for my entity here? What can I write? What can I come up with that will really generate some clicks and generate some enthusiasm and generate some storylines? Well, you couldn't do it even if you tried. Because now all of a sudden, here we are. The world champions. We know all about Durant. We'll get to Kevin Durant in a second.
Yep.
We know he's bouncing. But the world champions had a 31-point lead at home. We've talked about that erosion of aura at Oracle all year. They choke on the 31-point lead. Patrick Beverley reduced Kevin Durant. I almost don't want to say it. Kind of like a punk. Just punked him. Like if it's a schoolyard, you're like, get this guy out of here.
I gotta tell you, this
guy's kind of a wuss. You know, and I know he's not.
Yeah.
That's why I just want to make sure I'm clear on that. I'm not calling him a wuss.
No,
I don't play that game.
I feel you.
But
I feel
Patrick Beverley did to him kind of what he did to Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball's first night.
Yeah, you're right.
He got his grill.
Yeah, and their bench, the Clippers bench, was just crazy. Whether it was Montrezl Harrell or Lou Williams, who we always knew was a good player.
Oh, yeah, 36.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Their bench was unreal. The Clippers.
Fun game.
You know, here's the thing, BT. Remember the first thing I told you about the show when we first started 6 years ago?
Now, greatness.
I love seeing greatness.
Well, that's why. And I said, hi, I'm your partner. Welcome. Right. You get to see greatness every day.
Sharp Tierney, you're right. But one of the reasons, and I don't like the Golden State Warriors per se. Mm-hmm. I'm not from California. I mean, Steph might have some coolness to him because he's little and he jacks up threes at a rate that we've never seen before until James Harden started doing it more. But you know what I mean? He's like the little guy. He makes you want to root for him. There's nothing bad about Steph Curry. So in a sense, I became a little bit of a Golden State Warriors fan.
Okay.
One, because of Steph, and they had this like team focus, unselfish way of playing basketball. It's like, man, they are the example. They really are, right? And then they get KD, and it changes a little bit, right? KD's a little mercurial personality. He's a little odd at times. He gets emotional.
A little vinegar in the salad, which
you
always need.
But they win back-to-back championships. Yep. And so the narrative is, oh, man, this team is great. I just want to watch greatness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back to my very first statement. I just want to watch greatness. And they are a great team in the making. We pencil them in all the way to the finals last year, the year before. We knew they were going to play the Cleveland Cavaliers. And we knew that they would beat them, whether it be in sweep or a five. We knew that they were going to win.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we saw the inklings of discourse early, right? And then we started trying to explain away why the Golden State Warriors are vulnerable at home. And one of the most frustrating things to me, BT, because the formula for greatness is still there, but they're not doing it. One of the frustrating things for me is that I know they're great.
Mm-hmm.
You know they're great. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the NBA knows that they're great. On paper, it's ridiculous. Just jot down all the names. You're not finding a match anywhere in the NBA collectively. But this team has so many quirks and nuances and personality defects and frustrations that they're hard to root for this year. They really are, because whether it's infighting because KD can't stop talking about, or people can't stop talking about KD going elsewhere, whether it's laziness or lack of attention to being great. I mean, you're not
apathy.
Great.
Apathy.
Exactly. Yeah. Apathy, you know, foregone conclusions. You know, we got a 31-point lead. Like, we chill. We're good now, man. Let's go.
How does that happen at home?
It shouldn't
that
happen
should never
at home.
Happen.
So it frustrates me because what I think is happening is this Golden State Warriors team has started to believe all the BS that we've all thrown at them. Mm-hmm. And they believe it's just going to happen, right? It's inked in. It's inked into the finals for the Golden State Warriors. No pencil. Nobody's erasing anything. Mm-hmm. They're inked into the finals, and they're starting to believe that. But what's happened in the interim is that teams have gotten better, right? They just because they play the same type of style. Look at the Houston Rockets, who almost beat them last year. Teams, more importantly, like we saw with the Clippers last night, are willing and able to outwork them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so you see this transformation of this could be one of the great three-peat teams of all time to I don't really know. Mm. And it's frustrating because I wanted to see them be great. And now I'm confused about what the Golden State Warriors
I don't know
are
that you need to be that confused because they're only confused if we, and I know that we didn't collectively as a show.
No.
If we ignore the evidence that was given to us throughout the year.
Yeah.
If we were blind to all the things that Tiki just ran down, then you would be very, what's the word? Less enthralled with their chances to repeat again, to win again. The stigma that's become the Warriors has been very identifiable.
Yes.
And it's been made worse by the injury to Boogie Cousins, who went from an incredible luxury that added a little toughness, tenacity, size, and you know, girth, and just different style if you had to play that way, to all of a sudden, Andrew Bogut goes from a real luxury to hopefully you stay in shape in Australia, brother, because you're going to have to play 15, 18 minutes a night as we get deeper into this thing.
Agreed.
So we could talk all we want about Kevin Durant, and I will say that it does bother me, as just a quick aside, it's always bothered me, and Kevin does this a lot, quite frankly, and he's going to be playing for my team next year, so I'm going to have to be talking, mm-hmm. you know, dealing with this a lot, I think. It's going to be a Nick. But it bothers me when athletes or anybody rides the wave of adulation, rides that we all lift you up and we forge you forward, we propel you. Granted, your own greatness helps, does it as well.
Of course.
But you ride that amazing wave of adulation. The moment that wave crests and gets to shore, mm-hmm. you bounce and you grab your surfboard, you get in your car, you go home. You got to linger around a little bit, buddy. You know, I'm sorry, but it's game two of the playoffs. I know it's not game two of the finals. But you have a professional responsibility to go to that microphone last night, even if you pull the nonsense that the other clown pulls, Russell Westbrook. Durant's not a clown. I think Westbrook actually kind of is a clown, actually.
Yeah. Well, I think Westbrook is not. He wants to be cynical and quirky and witty. He can't do it.
No, he just comes off as weird. And when you say no comment, okay, then to our next question, that's weak. But even if Durant would have done that, I probably still would have had an issue with it for sure. I believe it's up to you to provide a little context when mm-hmm. somebody got in your head and undressed you as Patrick Beverley so easily did and so clearly did. 9 turnovers, 8 shot attempts. What planet does Patrick Beverley, who is a dog, man, I wish there were 20 more Patrick Beverleys in the NBA, but in what world does Patrick Beverley take the same amount of shots as Kevin Durant in a playoff game? And I'm going to get to somebody who always escapes criticism.
Go ahead.
You ready?
Go ahead.
Steve Kerr.
Okay.
I mean, Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr.
But what is Steve Kerr supposed to do? See, I think this is part of the problem, the evolution of this Warriors team, is that they're bigger than their coach right now. And so what can Steve Kerr say? What
but is that he going can't
to
happen.
Do? I understand that, but what's he going to do? What can he say?
I mean, in-game stuff. I don't mean post-game nonsense.
I don't
babble.
Disagree.
I mean, do something, 31 points, 20 points, 18 points, 13 points, 9 points. Do something as the 31, not 12, 31 point.
But what are you
lead
going to do?
I don't know. I'm not a head coach. Do something. That's what you get paid big money for.
I don't disagree.
I mean, anybody can coach a team of all-stars. Who the hell can't do that?
Well, they have a team of all-stars.
I understand that, but you got to be able to stifle the opposing run. It's amazing. And that was just the nightcap. The first game, you got flagrant fouls. Mm-hmm. You got Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons
awesome.
Mocking
but
post-game.
Awesome.
Well, that part wasn't awesome.
No, not
that.
That
was weak.
No, that was weak, but I'm talking about in-game.
Sure.
The energy and the aggressiveness that they came out in the third quarter was just, it was stupid. It was
awesome.
Yeah,
they smacked them. They smacked them. They really flexed
on them. And that's what
hard.
You needed to see from them. Otherwise, I would start having doubts about the medal of the Philadelphia 76ers.
No, me too. And as we look forward to tonight, I mean, Denver, the second seed, lost the first game. The Thunder, mentioned them before. I know they're a lesser seed, lower seed, but Vegas had them beating Portland. So did I. I don't want to say it's must win when it's four, when it's a best of seven. It's only game two, but you probably better find a way to win.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got some real interesting basketball, which is why I started the show. If Adam Silver sat down at his laptop and tried to craft something interesting to further engage us when there's usually lapse of boringness, if you will, that creeps into the first round, it's on, man. Suddenly, the first round of the NBA playoffs became very, very interesting.
Agreed, because so many times over the last few years, BT, it's been, okay, whatever. Catch me in the second, man. Maybe I'll get to the semi, then that's when I'll start paying attention. Because it just, they're sweeps. Right? You're not even thinking about it. But the 8 seed, the Clippers, they have a real shot. Mm-hmm. Probably not. They're not going to upset the Golden State Warriors. But if Golden State plays the way that they did last night, there's no reason.
Let me ask you this.
Especially if they go home and bring that energy.
I know you don't bet. If I said, Teak, $10,000,
yeah.
Okay?
Golden State.
No. That's not what I was going to ask,
though. Okay, go ahead.
Do you believe the Clippers will at least win one more game?
Yeah, I do.
So do I.
Absolutely.
Which means we've got a series.
I think you're right.
Which means it's really fun.
You're right.
And guess who's waiting in the weeds for the next series for the Warriors, should they get by?
I know.
The Rockets.
The Rockets.
Who are healthy, fresh, and confident.
You're right.
It's good. 855-212-4227. 1-855-212-4227. It is funny. Durant gets a lot of arrows. You know, Draymond gets some criticisms here. You're worried about Curry's ankle, but I bring up the head coach who I like and who I know is good, but possibly a little overstated. You know, Steve Kerr, you know, you got to do something to stifle that run. And I want to play this real quick. We'll get a break. We'll come back, get some calls, whether or not you think the world champs are really, truly in trouble. Not so much this round, but is this possibly a foreshadow of things to come? Steve Kerr says, in essence, we lost our way.
We stopped playing, kind of disconnected, kind of mid-third quarter, and lost our defensive edge. I mean, they scored 85 points in the second half. You know, we had really done a good job defensively in the first half. We kind of messed with the game a little bit. And when you do that, you know, you're in some trouble, especially in the playoffs.
I mean, it's one thing to say we lost our way. That can happen. But when you say we stopped playing,
I know we stopped.
What an indictment!
Playing. I know
we stopped playing.
And who are you getting after for stopping?
Kind of your responsibility, buddy, to make sure that they don't stop playing. Just saying, you're the coach.
I 100% agree.
That's why I say what I say.
It's got to be. I mean, he's talking specifically, at least in my mind, without saying it. Uh-huh. Kevin Durant.
Yes, he is.
Because how do you? Again, you don't even think about it because you look at a stat line: 21 points, 5 assists. Okay, maybe he just had an off day. He just missed like 10 shots, right? And he just had a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
He took 8.
Yeah.
8.
Yeah, it's like I said, it was not that dissimilar to when Patrick Beverley jumped on Lonzo. And I think the analogy that I used was a pit bull attacking the poodle in the schoolyard or at the park. Like, I know Kevin Durant's no poodle, trust me. And I'm not saying Lonzo was either. But the difference in tenacity, like what was going out of Beverley and how it was received by Durant and then what was then put out by Durant, what a gap. Mm-hmm. I mean, an alarming gap. All right, let's get the calls. Let's get the phones here. Coming up, what do you think? I mean, here we are a couple days in the playoffs, and it got pretty juicy thanks to last night. 1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance on this Tuesday after the Warriors choked, just gagged, 31-point lead, and they lose. And we'll get to Russell Wilson, worth every penny, staying with Seattle, big-time money. But the way it was announced, I mean, come on,
corny,
dude. What are you doing?
He's corny. It is what it is. He's corny.
I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't have a lot of good things going on in his world.
Of course he does.
Let's call for what it is, but
bro,
come on.
Keep your shirt on.
Yeah, that's weak.
You're not 20.
Nah, that's weak. We'll get to him, but he's a great player. Really happy for him. And a low-maintenance guy. I was a little surprised he did that.
Agreed.
You know? But the issue out of the shoot here is the Warriors, obviously the Sixers and the Nets. Philly gets even. But more specifically, the Warriors, what are you seeing? What are you feeling? How do you disperse the blame from last night specifically, Durant's going to take it on the chin big time. Patrick Beverly got in his jock from the opening tip, never relented. But I think you've got to levy a lot of criticism at Steve Kerr as well. Let's get the call, see what's happening here. Bob is in Arizona. Bob is on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Bob? How you doing today?
Hey, how are you doing? How's everything going?
We are good, man.
Awesome, Bob.
Hey,
I wanted
to bring this up to you with the Warriors, and what's got to be going on in that locker room is you got Durant, and you had a lot of rumors going around about Durant's mind wanting to go to the Knicks next year.
Yep.
And if you think that would be out of the question, let me throw a scenario at you. Knicks are going to probably end up with the number one draft pick, and everybody's thinking Zion would be going to the Knicks. Well, how about this one for you? The Lakers couldn't get across the board Anthony Davis coming from the Pelicans. Well, what if the New York Knicks actually traded the number one draft pick to the Pelicans to get Anthony Davis to go to New York? Irving leaves Boston and goes to New York.
Yeah.
That's more than attractive for Durant to be in New York. We're looking at the Knicks now having Anthony Davis.
Yeah, but Bob, here's
Durant
the thing, Bob.
I don't mean this, it's an interesting scenario.
But it's also everything that I've been saying for months here on the show. I mean, it's basically a regurgitation of what I said. I believe they'll get Durant. I believe they'll get Kyrie Irving as a package. The thing about Zion, you say they have the best chance, which I'd love to get Zion. They've got 14%, as do other teams, based on the new recalibration of the lottery here. So to say that the Knicks are the front runners to get Zion is statistically incorrect. Yeah. But the part about Anthony Davis is interesting.
I agree.
Now, I don't know that I would trade Zion for Anthony Davis. I don't know that I would. Now, if it's going to mean I have Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant, you do what you got
to
do.
I mean, you're set to win immediately.
No, you are. There's no question.
But
I actually, and I know nobody watched him. Trust me, I barely did. I did because I that's what I do. The Knicks have some pieces who are really cheap and really interesting. Mitchell Robinson is going to be a superstar.
I hear you.
So if there's a way to throw, you know, draft picks down the road and Mitchell Robinson and maybe Kevin Knox, there's maybe a way to entice and engage the Pelicans for Davis without including Zion, should you be so lucky to get him. But good call. You know, if he didn't catch what I said, that's all good. But I have said that for a while. Mike is here in New York City. Mike is on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good, man.
Good. In reference to that last call, first of all, if you don't know or think that Durant hasn't made up his mind a long time ago, you got your head in the sand.
Yeah.
He doesn't meet any attraction.
Agreed.
For New York. He's been there for a while, and that's part of my second reason. And then another thing about the last call, I wouldn't trade Zion for Anthony Davis. That's just my opinion. Not even close.
The injuries you worry about?
I was going to say, why, Mike? Why do you say that? I don't disagree, but why do you say that so confidently?
I just can't be that guy in 5 years from now that traded Zion. I don't know what he's going to be. And I look at him, just watch him. I can't take that chance. I don't know. I'd rather roll the dice with him. I don't know. It's my opinion.
Okay.
I guess it's 50-50.
Yeah, I got you.
Third thing is, you know, you mentioned Patrick Beverly got in Durant's head and everything, and it kind of made him look disinterested and he looked a little frazzled. If you've watched Warrior games for the past 2-3 months already, since the All-Star break, you know, especially since that Porzingis trade, when the questions started coming in, you know, heavy-handed every day in the media and everything, Durant's kind of checked out of a lot of these games, and his head is just elsewhere, very similar to how LeBron was in 2010. And, you know, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? As a Knicks fan, it's a great thing. I don't give a crap. But
I don't blame you, Mike.
Yeah, right.
We've been through hell.
Yeah, but they could still win it with him being a little disinterested.
Yeah,
he just doesn't want to be bombarded with.
I gotta tell you, look, Mike. I think you're right. They can beat the Clippers.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
If KD is disinterested and says I'm going to take 8 shots a game and whatever, Steph's going to do his thing. Klay eventually will start knocking down. He'll score 30 points in a quarter. Whatever. We're going to beat the Clippers. But if they take on the Rockets and KD is like, yeah, whatever. I'll be in New York. It's that series might be quick. In the Rockets' favor.
But there's nobody around the NBA. I mean, how many Patrick Beverleys are there?
No, I
agree.
You've
got to be a special DNA to do that to Durant.
Think about what we're talking about. We're talking about Kevin Durant. Some people have elevated him as the best player in the NBA right now above LeBron because LeBron in the Lakers fiasco that went on this year.
No, it's debatable.
We're talking about one of the best players, if not the best, is the second best player in basketball right now.
Yep.
And he gets a little bit mind. You know what? And he goes, he shuts down? I mean, can we...
It's does not a good look for his
It's not a good look at all. So, I mean, of course there's not many Patrick Beverleys, but it doesn't seem to take a lot to get him to get emotionally detached from the task at hand.
You're nailing it.
And that's scary. That's very scary.
It's scary for the Warriors, but it should also be scary for the Knicks.
I agree.
I mean, again, the burner accounts. I mean, he's very fragile.
Agreed.
You know, starting fights
But the point is, he shouldn't be. Like, he's got the world in the grasp of his hands, man.
Almost as good as Russell Wilson last night.
Yeah, right. He's making a ton of money. He's got ridiculous endorsements. He's a 2-time champion and Finals MVP.
Yep.
Like, what's wrong with continuing to be great? I don't get him.
But you know this. I know you know this. It is easy for us to, you know, parachute into somebody's life, whether it's because they have money or fame or both.
It's a very good point.
And believe that they're without any sort of issues. That's just not the way the human mind works. You know that.
Of course.
So why isn't he happy? I don't know. It's confounding to me as well. It truly is.
And it's frustrating to me.
Something just a little different with Kevin Durant, and not good different. That little part of his brain is insecurities. It's weird. I agree, Teague. Let's get Jacob out in Houston. Jacob's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What up, Jacob? How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Good, man. How about yourself?
Okay.
Good. So we're talking about the Warriors, man. I feel like they relied on that 30-point lead to win them the game instead of doing what got them there and continuing that through the second half. And they started playing, you know, conservative basketball, and that's when the Clippers, you know, slowly chipped away and one possession at a time, and it got them that win, man.
Yeah, and you know this because you're down in Houston. They can't play that way against the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets have these chance to score 40 in a quarter, right? Because how they shoot. So if you have a lead, you better keep your foot on their throat, because otherwise they'll come back and beat you. Mm-hmm. I mean, Clippers are gritty, but they're not good per se.
The fact that this
happened
kind of
versus the Clippers, that's worrisome if you're a Golden State Warrior fan.
And especially with the kind of team the Warriors are in the third quarter, and for them to come out in the second half and play like that, it wasn't alarming. The Warriors game.
It's alarming. Yeah. Listen, Jacob, exactly. It's an astute observation. Thanks for the call, buddy, on your part about how they always come out and just throttle people in the third quarter.
Right.
It's when they blitz you. I mean, how many times have we seen, whether it's regular season, playoffs, whatever, a crooked number like, you know, Warriors 41 or 37, opponent 13 or 16 or 18. I mean, they have just dumped on people in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Teague.
And by the way, I'm looking at Kevin Durant, one of three in the fourth quarter. One of three.
It's unacceptable. Listen, I will.
And the one was in the paint.
Yeah, exactly. It was right there. That's true. I don't want begrudge isn't the right word. I won't crush people. I won't crush athletes for failure. Now, if you're a repeat big moment failure, if you will, like Bonds in the playoffs for a long time, A-Rod, Kyle Lowry, not that he's of that ilk, but we talk about 0 points the other night, 33% from downtown in the playoffs. I mean, all these things that have followed Kyle Lowry around, we know the narrative. Dave Winfield in the 81 World Series at like 110 is a big time free agent for the Yankees. Yankees lost to the Dodgers. Like, if I was doing sports radio in 81 instead of being 7, I would crush Dave Winfield, right? I can accept failure. I cannot accept disengagement. And when you shoot 3 times, to Tiki's point, in the fourth quarter, you're disengaged. On what level? I can't pretend to give you an exact amount. I don't know. I can't quantify it. You got me. I can't quantify it. But you know when you watch it, and when you see somebody who's just not attacking, and that is unacceptable.
Agreed.
If you're Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Don't let the Clippers hang around.
Imagine if they lost to the Clippers. Can you imagine?
No.
Come on.
It's not going to happen.
I know, but could you imagine?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. I can't fathom that.
Yeah.
If the Clippers had one more big-time score, maybe? I think they're going to have to just use too much spit and glue, and I think Steph, as long as the ankles are right, Steph will find a way to get them. And Clay.
Next year, Kawhi.
Probably. Question for you real quick, Teague, and I was thinking about this driving in. What do you think is a better impetus for Kevin Durant to split from the Warriors? If they win the championship or if they lose? And before you answer, now imagine, it's the Chase Center, I believe, is the name of the new arena, right? Next to
San Francisco.
Downtown. Yeah. It's Chase Center? Okay. Imagine opening night at the Chase Center, four straight championships. Maybe he's the
losing. It's the
losing. Yeah. Where we lost, peace out. I'm gonna just bag you up with my garbage bag and bounce.
Yeah.
I think I agree. But I wonder if that pull of transcendent, like iconic sporting success could be too much. Maybe he kicks it down the road for a year and stays. I don't know. There's still a lot of layers to this,
but
obviously.
We remember what happened when he was at OKC and the same conversation was occurring and they blew the lead against the Golden State Warriors.
Yep, they were up 3-1.
And he bounced.
He did bounce. D-Cell, did you find, I asked D-Cell to, Yomas D-Cell, to find some of the largest playoff choke jobs deficit-wise, actually at that point it was surplus. Who jumps out? What'd you come up with?
So the biggest one that I found is 1998, the Nuggets and Jazz, 36-point deficit is the biggest in playoff history.
Was that a third quarter? Hey, there's no way he came back from 36 down to the fourth. It had to be third quarter. I guess I'm just trying to find, is there some sort of, you know, historical correlation? Have other great teams that went on to win champion? Like, I know Jordan's Bulls didn't do that.
No.
Kobe and Shaq's Lakers, the Celtics of the 80s, the Lakers. I can't imagine they gave up. Yeah, there could always be the outlier. Somebody's going to send it and make me look foolish on Twitter. That's fine. And I'd love to see it. But I can't imagine a team with great championship pedigree has had that happen to them, especially in their own house.
Agreed.
I'd love to see. I don't, you know, D-Cell, D-Cell is digging, and hopefully he'll come up with something. Ack, what's up, buddy? How are you today?
I'm good. Yourself?
You good?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there.
All right, Ack. How's that? How's the sniffles coming along?
We're getting through it.
Yeah.
Better every day, you know. Yeah. Playing hurt, but that's okay. Tiki played with a broken arm.
Hey,
That's true. So did Emmett.
Cool. Yeah,
so did Emmett Smith.
That's right.
Kevin Mawai hiked with his opposite hand. Remember when Kevin Mawai broke his right hand?
Yep.
He was a great Hall of Famer now. Center is with the Jets, and he had to hike it with his left hand. All right, we got the update from Ack. Inbounds, out of bounds right after that. And let's see. One, two, three. I'd like to say this is a 10 out of 10 in terms of the job that D'Cell did on the inbounds out of it. I can't quite go that far. Could you give yourself a 10, D'Cell?
I'll always give myself a 10.
Okay, that doesn't mean that it's right, though. You saw the questions, Steve. Give me a numerical value so far on the questions. Seven and a half, eight?
8.5.
All right, we'll have to bump it up. We'll have to give you really interesting answers to cover up for them.
Exactly. Before we get to that, though, we'll talk to Brian Burns,
yep.
Florida State defensive end. He's going to be drafted late first, maybe early second. We'll see. He's a good player, even though Florida State had a rough year.
Yeah, they did. Oof, he better start winning, Willie, very soon. Tegan, I'll be out at the draft, by the way. Two shows, Thursday and Friday, down in Nashville, Tennessee. Right at the draft, which is going to be terrific. We'll also do a local show for FAN in New York. Jets and Giants fans, you want to listen to that. All right, we'll get Axe update. We'll come back. We'll talk some college football, inbounds, out of bounds. Some more Warriors, Russell Wilson, busy show. Here's Ack.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, join CBS Sports Network's Inside College Football crew as they dig deep into the upcoming NFL draft, breaking down the blue chippers and speculating on the game's new superstars. Only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports, CBS Sports Network. Great song. Din, din, din. Just sounds like something big is coming, right?
din, din, din.
Something big is coming for this guy. Brian Burns is with us as he gets ready for the draft, and Tegan and I will be out there both Thursday and Friday broadcasting live from the Fan Fest. So we will be in the middle of it, and we'll bring it right to you. Brian Burns, former defensive end, and projected anywhere, mid to late first? Possibly early second, could scoot up. It could go either way, but he's obviously a terrific prospect. And his name is Brian Burns, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Brian, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
We are good, man. Why do people call you Spider? I hear that's your nickname. Spider Burns is badass, but why do people call you Spider?
They call me Spider-Man because of that pose I did in the Wake Forest game.
Uh-huh.
I need to do it in the BC game.
Ah.
So those are the main reasons.
Nice. Well, you had a heck of a 3 years at Florida State, coming out as a true junior. 9.5 sacks and 4.5 sacks your sophomore year, then 10.5 last year. And then you went to the combine and you beasted, put on some weight. You ran a really good 40. Where do you see yourself in the draft next week?
I honestly don't know where I'll be going. Well, what pick I'll be in the draft. Honestly, I just try to do everything I could to improve my stock and improve my chances. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, when you put on what you put on film is what it is.
Yeah.
So I can only improve from now on for whatever I got, whatever I got going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, I know this from doing it and just watching it over the years. All it takes is one team to fall in love with you, whether it's your work ethic, your personality, your physical abilities, whatever it may be. But you know, one of the things that gets asked a lot of guys like you who are DN slash linebacker is the versatility question. How versatile do you think you can be in the NFL? Because covering running backs and doing things like that is a big part of finding success on the defensive side in the NFL. Can you do that?
Yeah, I definitely think I can. I mean, I've done it before in college situations, but I've never really repped it in practice. So I really feel like with the proper preparation, it'll be fine, but I've done it before, so I mean, it's not a problem.
Yeah, you know, Florida State is an interesting spot because of the history of it and the iconic nature of the program. It went through a little bit of some down periods over the last couple of years. Jimbo bouncing, Willie Taggart coming in. And what was it like for you guys to feel, I don't want to say irrelevant because that's the wrong word, but it wasn't where you always has been Florida State's program. How did you guys feel about that?
Honestly, we really just want to put our the best foot forward to get the program going back in the right direction. I mean, of course, just like you said, the tradition, the legacy, all the great players that went through Florida State is phenomenal. So, I mean, and with Jimbo leaving and Willie Taggart coming in, it was a slight change. I mean, all change doesn't have to be bad. So, I mean, I feel like he's going in the right direction as far as getting the program together.
Yeah.
He just had a rough first year.
We're talking to Brian Burns, former defensive end for Florida State. Big kid, 6'5", about 250 or so. Ran the 40 and 4.53 at the Combine. 2018 first-team All-ACC as well. Yeah, Teague and I, we talked about Willie a few times here. And you know, I don't know. I don't think players really view it through this light here. But when you do what we do for a living, you know, and we see some coaches get a real long rope to prove themselves. Some don't. Do you think that Willie was treated fairly? You know, any of the residue that, and again, I know you're doing your job trying to become a pro. I get that. But do you think that Willie Taggart is going to get a fair shake at Florida State?
A fair shake? Exactly what do you mean by that, a fair shake?
Where he's given enough time.
Basically time
to really prove himself, to get himself going.
I sure hope so. I mean, you can't really doubt the guy from 1 year. You know what I'm saying? Like the program, like the year before that, we wasn't the best. We wasn't even nowhere near what Florida State is used to. We went 7-5,
yeah,
or something like that. So he's not going to get it up and moving in the right direction immediately. So I hope he gets the best. I hope he gets the time he needs to really get things moving the way he wants to get it moving. So I hope he gets the time, but I have no idea
if
he'll get a fair shake or not.
Yeah, and Brian, just to be clear on my end, I don't question Taggart. I question those who cover the Seminoles and some of the national media maybe with an agenda.
Yeah.
We're pro Willie Taggart. We like Willie. We're rooting for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, some of those guys, I mean, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but some of the reporters do put out a little negative shade over him at times.
Yeah.
But I feel like everybody that's in his corner is the people that matter the most.
Yeah.
So you got to see, he has his players in his corner. He has me in his corner. And from the sound of y'all, sounds like he has y'all in his corner.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess you answered the question before I even ask it. But you guys had to have loved him, right? It's weird because Jimbo was the man for so long down there. But then Jimbo just kind of like upped and peaced out. You know what I mean? And then Willie comes in. He wants the job. He knows it's going to be a challenge. I mean, you guys took to him, right?
Yeah, people, you know, Jimbo been there so long, and Jimbo was, you know, Mr. Florida State or whatever, but people, as far as the team-wise, the change was just a lot, you know. Like, it wasn't so much that, oh, my God, I can't believe Jimbo's gone, but it was just so much going on as far as media trying to figure out stuff, asking us questions and trying to find out if Jimbo's leaving, if Jimbo's doing this. It was a whole bunch of rumors and just chaos at one point in time. But once Taggart got there and the guys started buying in, It was smooth.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm talking to Brian Burns, former defensive end for the Seminoles. Get ready for the draft, which obviously is coming up next week. Teague and I will be down in Nashville, and Brian is with us here on Teague and Tierney.
Yeah, no, I feel for you guys. That's a distraction that college kids shouldn't have to deal with, and you guys had to deal with it in a major way because of the heightened, I guess, notoriety of Florida State's program. I'm looking at the mock drafts and some of the guys that are projected to go ahead of you. Nick Bosa, who didn't even play last year. Mm-hmm. Sean Gary's a good player up in Michigan.
Yeah, we had him on the show.
Exactly. A Farrell from Clemson. How do you think you stack up against these other guys? Because I think you know this, Brian. A rush DN, a rush linebacker, a rush DN are truly some of the most important players in the NFL. Where do you think you line up against some of these other guys that you're going to be competing with to get drafted next week?
Well, first, they're all great players. They all had great college careers, and I wish them a lot of success. But I would never put anybody over me. So, I mean, to answer your question, how I stack up to them, I'll put myself first.
Yeah, I love it.
Any day.
It's the only answer.
Regardless. But they are great. They are great players, and I'm not taking anything from them. But I wouldn't put them over me.
Yeah,
that's what you got to do. Yeah. I mean, you have to breathe, and you have that's your oxygen, yeah, man.
Right.
Of course,
you're right. If you doubt yourself, then I mean, everybody else.
That's why should a team believe in you?
Exactly.
To draft you, right?
But let me ask you this though: exactly. This is a very deep draft for your position. Why'd you decide to come out this year? You have another year left of eligibility. You probably could have stayed and been ranked, moved up higher, whatever it may have been. Why'd you decide to come out this year?
Honestly, I feel like I had a great 3 years at Florida State. I feel like I did my job. I didn't meet all the goals I wanted to, but, I mean, at the end of the day, the risk was higher than the reward. I didn't want to go back, and I had an opportunity to come out this high and come out this with all this hype behind me.
Yeah.
And I go back, and I don't have the year I want to have, or God forbid I get injured or anything like that. So the risk was just a lot higher than the reward. And I prayed about it, talked to my family, and made decisions that I felt was best for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the right one. But it's crazy to think about this, Brian. And I mean, I'm old now. I've been out 20 years from college. I graduated 22 years ago from college. I don't think I was thinking about, man, if I go back for my senior year, I'm going to get hurt. It's changed. And a lot of that's probably because of the economics. You know what I mean? It's like if I wait another year, I'm never making up that 5 or 6 or 10 or whoever knows, whatever $1 million it is. I'm never making that up. I mean, that's a factor nowadays for not just you, but some of the kids that are coming behind you and across college football.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's kind of sad to say that people have to think that deeply into making a decision that you've been wishing to do your whole life. But, I mean, at the end of the day, there has been guys that have went back to, I guess, either better their stock or they just wanted to go back to college and have suffered from that decision. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's something that you should really think about. But, I mean, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Brian, I always like to talk to Brian Burns from Florida State, and the draft is coming up, and he's going to be picked relatively early. He's got to stay healthy. He's going to make some money. He's got a chance to be really good. But I always like to get to the core of, like, the origin of your professional dream. Tiki knows, I always ask the prospects this, you know, because once you become a pro, it's different. It's all business. When did Brian Burns, number one, first believe
Spider Burns.
Spider, my bad. Can really make it to the NFL? Like, at what point did you say, whether it was to your mom or to yourself, I'm good enough to do this. This is where I'm going.
I'd probably say back in high school. I felt like I had a huge opportunity to make it. I mean, because my brother played the NFL, so I always knew it was possible.
Mm-hmm.
But when I really noticed I was good, when I first started getting my offers and I was really getting a lot of attention and I was beating my goals that I set to for the season, I really realized then that I can really do this. Like, this is something I can be great at.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Well, listen, have a great night. Real quick, are you actually going to the draft? Or are you going to celebrate with your family at home? Where are you going to spend the draft night?
I'm going to the draft.
You are? Oh, well, we'll see you there, man. Okay, nice. Cool. Very good.
Oh, most definitely.
All good right. Deal.
And good luck to you, Brian.
You better get a good suit, man. That
spider.
Picture.
Spider.
Spider. Get a good suit. That picture's not going away. Whatever you wear, just don't rock the LeBron white suit like his communion suit.
I got you. I'm going to be clean.
I'm sure you will, man. Hey, thanks a lot, Brian Burns. There he is from Florida State. So, yeah, I...
Seems like a really good kid,
He does seem like a good kid. And I wonder if... I wonder if Haskins is going to change his mind. I don't think he is, but the fact that the Giants, I know I'm switching subjects here, but we're going to get to Russell Wilson coming up.
Talking about going to the draft.
The fact that Russell Wilson is now locked up 4 years, big-time money, 36 a year with Seattle, does that maybe give Dwayne Haskins something to think about as this momentum could pick up that the Giants will take him at 6? And if that's the case, does he change his plans and maybe go to Nashville?
Maybe.
Maybe not, because he seems pretty committed to that. Yeah. But... and we've had him on a few times in person and on the phone. We really liked Dwayne Haskins, And we think he would I mean, he's from New Jersey anyway. He's used to the area.
How quick do you think Willie Taggart turns around Florida State?
I'm not so sure that he does. I'm not so sure that he does. I like Willie. I'm rooting for Willie. You and I are, you know,
big
earnestly in his
him.
Corner.
Yeah, agreed.
But I don't know. That's a rough start. And when you start rough at a big-time school, it's even tougher to get it going. Inbounds, out of bounds, next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.